The Rod of God. This is September 14th, 2018. Thank you for joining me. This is the next dilation, perception of God's rods and what it means, what the rod means. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for Yeshua the Messiah, and that you will open this up, anoint the ears of those who hear and the hearts that they might understand. Make my tongue the pen of a ready writer to write your words in our spirits, that we might glorify you and lift up the name of Jesus Christ and all that he has done and his lordship over all creation. Thank you, Abba. The rod of God. Okay, let me start with, I have so much. I got this message. It just started to flow. So I'll just go with it. Now, we talked about the rod of Moses and what a rod was in the last thing, on the rod of Moses, about the scepter, the discipline, the correction, the judgment. So we're going to get into a different dilation of this. Now, in Exodus 4:20, this is an interesting scripture. It says here that, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Now, in other places in Exodus, it refers to the rod of Moses, but this is a distinction. The rod, okay, so we know that a rod is a staff, a branch, a tribe, the branch of a vine, a branch, figuratively a tribe, also a rod, whether for chastising, correction, ruling as a scepter, throwing a lance, a spear, walking a staff, figuratively support of life, for example, bread, rod, a staff, tribe. All right, he took the rod of God, the word here in Hebrew is Elohim, rulers, judges, divine ones, angels, gods, godlike one who works or special possessions of God, the true God, God, capital, masculine. The plural of gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used with the article of the supreme God, Elohim. So this has the article before it. Occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates and sometimes as superlative, angels exceeding gods, capital G, very great, judges, mighty, the almighty God. He took this rod in his hand. God gave him authority to delegate in this aspect. He took the rod of God. Look at Exodus 17:9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God. The rod of God, same words in Hebrew, in mine hand. And what happened in this incident with this scripture is that as Moses held out the rod and Aaron and Joshua held up his arms, the Amalekites were defeated. And who are they? The Amalekites are the serpent seed. They are descended from possibly, probably the hybrids of fallen angels. They were the serpent seed, as Jesus taught in Matthew about the earth is the garden, is the pasture, and the good seed was sown, and at night the wicked one came in, Satan, and sowed bad seed. These are tares, and they always oppose the people of God. They are the sons of darkness, and they have always opposed the things of God. They have made war against God and against his will. Let's have a look at Job 29. Job 21, excuse me, 21:9. Their houses are safe from fear, and the rod of God is not upon them. All right, what does this mean? Well, it means that God's rod is his discipline and his correction. He allows this rod to come upon people. Let's look at who this rod is. This is really exciting to me, because in the New Testament, it speaks about the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. It speaks about, in throughout Scripture, the rod of Moses and the rod of God. Let me suggest that these are parallelisms. These are parallelisms. Let's look at who the rod is. In Isaiah 11:1, let me grab my Bible over here. This is Stearns. I'm working out of the King James and Stearns today. In Isaiah 11, but a branch, rod in Hebrew, same word, will emerge from the trunk of Yisha. A shoot will grow from its roots. A rod out of Jesse. The Spirit, this is speaking of God, the Spirit of God, Adonai, will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and fearing Adonai, he will be inspired by fearing Adonai. He will not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. Excuse me. But he will judge the impoverished justly. He will decide fairly for the humble of the land. He will strike the land with a rod from his mouth, and slay the wicked with a breath from his lips. Justice will be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the sash around his hips. All right, this is the Messiah. This speaks about the Messiah, and he judges righteously, and he strikes with the rod, says quite clearly, with the rod of his mouth. Now, this rod was symbolized as Moses' rod of God. Let's look at Exodus 15:1 here. All right, what was this rod of God? what is the power of God? So this speaks of the power of God. It slays, all right, with the word of his mouth, it says there. And this is prefigured in Exodus in this, I don't want to go there yet. Let's prefigure this in the fact that Moses took this rod. Okay, we'll go back to the very beginning. In Genesis 3:2, what did Moses strike with the rod of God? What were these judgments? What was he slaying with the wicked and the breath of his mouth? Well, in the serpent tempted Eve out of the tree to eat the fruit of the tree. That was the first temptation. The serpent, okay, came from the tree. So the serpent was always seducing with lust, the world, lust of the eye, lust of flesh, and the pride of life. These were his temptations. You shall be as God, you shall know good from and evil, and all of this. All right. Therefore, God took a rod, a wooden instrument. Okay, we're going to look at the rod, the wooden instrument, to slay the serpent. How did he do this? In Exodus 7:16, let me go there. 7:16. Maybe it starts at 7:10. Hang on. All right, no, excuse me. Exodus 7:10. So I'll start at 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, and you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses' rod, his wooden stick, which symbolizes wood comes from a tree, right? Take your rod and let it become a serpent. The tree in the garden, serpent hanging around, tempting Eve. So Moses, now let me just put some handles on this. Egyptian Pharaoh worshipped, was Leviathan. They worshipped the dragon. They were snake worshippers. They wore snakes. They were the book of the dead. They came, you know, they went in. Everything was about death and the serpent and occult powers, high-level occult powers. So let it become a serpent. So Moses came in and was making a demonstration that his rod, that's what they worship serpents, became a serpent, that he had taken that up, that authority. All right, that's what it meant to them. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did just as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, their soothsayers, their secret arts. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. This was a demonstrable sign that God's authority was over them, that he swallowed up the serpent, the works of darkness. He devoured them. This was the rod of God, and Moses testified that this was a rod of God, but Pharaoh's heart became hardened. Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord said. And it also says, I believe, where is it, in the New Testament, it was in Romans, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart that he might show his, what? Glory. He might show his glory. Let's look at Numbers 21, 8 through 9. Okay, so in the wilderness, after the death of Aaron, the people who were delivered out of Egypt from the hand of the serpent, Satan, in the iron furnace of slavery, all right, they spoke against God. They spoke against God in Numbers 21. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Now, this is symbolic of when Moses took up the rod, used the rod of God to deliver them from the hands of the serpent. When their hearts and their mouths turned away from God, they had to look up to the serpent on the pole. This is really the piercing of the serpent in the garden with its own root or branch. And who is this root or branch that's going to pierce this serpent that is symbolically, allegorically looked to? Isaiah 11, the Messiah, who will slay them with a rod, right? With the rod of his mouth. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. He lived. Now, how do you know this, Kathy? Oh my gosh, there's so many scriptures. I'll have to just keep to the ones. In that day, Isaiah 27, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile, that is in the sea. All right, and what is the... There was a song of deliverance, right? From the serpent that was sung. This is the... Ooh, this is going to get exciting. All right, that was sung in Deuteronomy 31, 22. Therefore, Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. All right, and what is this song? Great and marvelous. The song of Moses was... Oh my gosh, I have to get... It's all in Deuteronomy 32. But he has delivered us and thrown the horse and the rider into the sea. I won't read the whole song to you. It's huge. It's several pages. But encourage yourself. Read the song of Moses because it speaks of the rod of God's deliverance. The rod. And who is that rod? The Messiah. Prefigures the Messiah.